Lord, I don't understand it. I'm running for my life. Am I the only one that's standing by your side? I feel so weak. I need my strength renewed. So under this juniper tree, I'll wait for you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. They that wait. I've heard your cries and I've seen your tears. Don't worry, I have conquered all of your fears. I've sent you manna from on high. Every need I'll supply. And what you can't see over that mountain, there are 7,000 that have not bowed one knee. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. They that wait.
Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Kathleen's going to come and minister for us now.
He will deliver you. darkness, and no one seems to hear. And just because you can't see him doesn't mean he isn't near. Perhaps he's only waiting until you've done all you can do, till he's the only thing that's left to hold on to. When nothing but a miracle will do, there's nothing that the hand of God cannot bring you through. Well, I know he's more than able, and he will deliver you. When nothing but a miracle will do, in your times of trials, when you face a giant doubt, listen to a crowd of witnesses, you'll hear them crying now. From a lion's den and a fiery furnace, from a belly of a whale, through prison walls and a hopeless tomb, walks a God that never fails. I hear Daniel and Jonah, Peter and Paul, they're shouting.
Six in the red book. We in C. Jesus has a table spread where the saints and God are fed. He invites his chosen people coming down with his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, dear sweetness up with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master's call is come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. You fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry count it now, come and dine. Every time comes to land, God's command. For the master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. The sea satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the master called, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed into wine, to the hungry call it now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Hope will be a glorious sight all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and turn the water into wine to the hungry heart of mine. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. You may fill the tomb, turn the water into wine to the hungry calleth now. Come and dine. Amen. You know, it's a season for that what we call Christmas time. And if Brother Aaron's still back there, I want him to come up here and sing his beautiful Star of Bethlehem. I was trying to find it for him here. But if you come on, Brother Aaron. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. I don't know what's under the Star of Bethlehem or beautiful star. It's 254. Right, here you are, brother. Oh, you done got, oh, he's got some help with him. Amen. Amen, amen. We got to do all we can to worship and rejoice and glorify the Lord. And bring our youngins. We've been off with a grandson this past week, and got him to ask the blessing just about every time we need. So that's the way it is. Can you get him out there where they can sing?
You gonna stand over here?
Amen. Amen.
We'll see.
Oh, beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns. Give us the until the break of day, and into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns. Give us the light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful Star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed, yonder in glory when the crown is won. For Jesus is now the star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns. For give us the light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Appreciate that. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll change the order of service now. Amen, amen. Beautiful star of Bethlehem. Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to see you.
How do you want to see him?
To see you high and lifted up. Thank you, Father. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
See him, don't you?
Hallelujah.
I'm like Moses. No matter how many times he had been in the presence of God, he said, Lord, I'd just like to see you. He made a way, didn't he? So he'll make a way for us to see him too. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to Romans 8. Ephesians 1, Romans 8. Remember now, Wade, the Lord willing, will be preaching this coming Wednesday, so be much in prayer for him. And remember then the Christmas dinner on Sunday, not but one service, morning service, won't be an evening service, just having our time together and doing, you know. So now we generally fail to make straight announcements sometimes, but now next Sunday we will have our Sunday school. Okay, now everybody listening, Sunday school, when you get through with your Sunday school, come on up. The children have a little parts and things to do, so they will be doing that immediately when they start coming up. We'll get it together and line it up, and then we'll go into the preaching service. Okay, so then remember that. We didn't announce it last year, so some's running around, well, what are we going to do? Well, okay, Sunday school, finish your Sunday school. Come upstairs. We're going to have a little part of a little program type of thing with the kids, and then we'll have the morning service, no evening service, okay? So remember that, okay? Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord Jesus, that in an hour when everything is falling apart, everything's going down worldwide and all over, but yet in all of that time and heartaches and troubles, we can raise our eyes to glory and say thank you that you would let us know ahead of time what these things are going to be, pre-program us to the point that we would, Lord, know and expect, and it wouldn't be a surprise. And we can see the things coming that the prophet has spoken of. But we pray that you would help us to realize realization of a personal experience and time and love with you in this world and time that we have. Because without that, without that personal experience, it's worth nothing to any of us. It's just vain janglings to talk about doings outside of you. So just have your way with us now. Forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and help us to walk in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ephesians 1. We'll go with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, when? Until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Okay? Now let's go to Romans 8. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. Now, so that means that in his foreknowing, then it would have to come first and in the predetermining, but then he would show what's going to be, right? Because to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, trying to pick up where we were this morning in the order of understanding and walking into the revelation that we're talking about, I want us to keep the thought in our mind, you know, of one thing. That when you're dealing with foreknowledge, that was our thought this morning, that we take it as knowledge before, but don't just take that as thinking, well, in his mind. You know, go on back into the mind to the point of knowing why he would do the things he does. See, if you just go back to his mind, then it's just like, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm just going to make people, and some people are going to accept me, and some people are going to reject me, and I'll accept this, and I'll do that, and I'll, because you can go through that in just the mind. You know, but back up far enough until you can see that you're backing up into where the prophet would say, into the back part of God's mind. In other words, going back into thinking in the one that would be doing it. And he's so wonderful. Because remember what we were bringing out this morning. That he done what he done the only way that it could be done without crossing up himself or leaving himself open for, arguments. Because remember, now once God says something, once God does something, he can't change his mind. So it can't be that, see, his first thought has got to be correct. It's not that he thought, well, okay, now maybe that ain't a good idea. I'll just go this way. No. Remember, it's got to be the first thought is the right thought and the only thought. All right? See, then that would have to cover to where that there would be no problems and all. Because, you know, you're dealing with an eternal God and an eternal word, not just ideas and thoughts. You're not dealing on that part. You're dealing with it in the right way. All right. So remember what we said this morning. When God done what he done and the way that he brought mankind into being, he brought everybody the same way. Right? Then he gives everybody a choice. Sure, he knows the choice. No problems. But yet, just keep in mind the thought that the way he done it was the only way it could have been done. All right, because you're talking about God. You're not talking about me and you deciding to do something one way and then deciding to do something else and just, you know, changing our thoughts. You're dealing with an eternal God. Right, so when he allowed mankind to fall, he could not make the man fall and be correct. Right. If he made the man fall, the man could say, you made me fall. You can't judge me for being wrong. But he didn't make it wrong. So then he doesn't do as we talk about in choosing. See, if he chose one group and didn't choose the other group, for any reason your ideas or thoughts are outside of foreknowledge, then you're getting him to a point that he's making a choice and it won't work. All right. Because that was what we were trying to get to this morning on foreknowledge. Go back in your foreknowledge then, back totally to the point of knowing that there God dwelt alone with his thoughts. All right? And then from that, things could happen and going into being. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Pray to understand it because if God made us wrong, he can't judge us for being wrong. And if he gave this group a choice, but didn't give this group a choice, then you can't make it work out. I love this message, because it has a lot of answers that we didn't have as we were. And what about the Brother Branham even covering that the heathen who... don't hear that there'll be a gospel to the heathen in the millennium. What about that? What about a God that great? What about a God that would take and judge people according to their own laws and could give them eternal life based upon not the blood of Jesus Christ, not those things, but upon how that they were good in their own selves, being good, not try to be good, but just good, just people that's just right. What a wonderful God we serve. Okay. Now, we get to the thought now of what we was talking about this morning. How does God predestinate then? We read the scriptures and things, brought it down. That God predestinates those who he foreknew, he did predestinate. All right, so I asked the question this morning. I ask it again. I've got it about five times in here. The same question. Which comes first, foreknowledge or predestination? If you say predestination come first, then you're got him predetermining.
Right.
And there's no hope for any of us. It'd be on a predetermined basis.
Right.
It'd be upon what he set to be. But if he goes by foreknowledge, then goes to predestination, now there is hope within mankind to understand God's ways and do it. Because I know the old doctrines of predestination. If I'm predestinated, I'm glad I stepped off that place. Because I was predestinated to do that. If I was predestinated to do that, I'm going to do that. Well, does God do it that way? Does God set a destiny before you and require that you follow that destiny that he predetermined? Or does he give you a free moral agency and allows you to choose? But by his foreknowledge, he knew the choice you would make. Why is the argument over predestination? Well, if I was predetermined, that's what it means. Predestination means predetermined. That means it's determined to be, and it's going to be. Why was it? There was a man in the Bible one time, asked for time, and he was allowed 15 years. Sure, we know the story. He should have died because he's been better off because he'd done a lot of wrong. Now, God didn't change his mind. But does God put everything down? Once we get to it in a minute where Brother Brown says, he cannot put you in a tube and push you out the other side and say, you overcame. It can't be done. It has to be done on the basis of foreknowledge. And then by foreknowledge, knowing all things. And we read them this morning where Brother Branham covered before a gnat, before anything in the world happened, he already knew what would happen. Great. That's a wonderful God. But did he sit down and write it out as a point that it would have to be that way? Or did he know it would be that way? Which one? So which comes first then? All right. Which comes first, foreknowledge or predestination? All right? So we go back to foreknowledge. And by foreknowledge, he can predetermine. Now, you can't argue that point then. See, you say, but he's predetermined it. He didn't give me a choice. No, no. Because his foreknowledge allowed him to know the choice you would make. Right? So he knows the choice and predetermine it.
Yep.
So there's nothing wrong with the word predestination.
Right.
If mankind had approached it that way, there wouldn't have been an argument among the Baptists and the Presbyterian and the things of what you got on predestination and the people of this message.
Right.
And you got the poor old people that have beat them so much about predestinations and seeds till they'll say, if I was predestinated to make it, bless God, I'll make it. God's going to make a way. Well, where can that fit in God's plan? Brother Brown said, as we quoted this morning, what? That Abraham lived, what? By faith. You know, Abraham didn't know the end of his journey. You don't know the end of your journey. You live by faith.
Right.
I know, bless God, my journey. I'm going to heaven. Well, are you trying to convince me or yourself? It ain't doing no good to try to convince God, and it sure ain't helping much to try to convince me because I ain't got nothing to do with what you're doing. Huh? But see, we talk about predestination. Predestination means destiny determined beforehand.
Right.
That's fine. That's fine. That's great. But then here comes a prophet with the definitions and understanding, and what is his point? The same as the Bible. Those that he foreknew, he did predestinate. All right. So then it's not that, oh, I was born with this seed in me, so I was predestinated. The next message will be probably representation from predestination. Because that's what the prophet said about the little woman at the well. But see, we want to try to find out if we're a predestinated seed. But listen, do you remember these this morning where Brother Branham said, predestination is foreknowledge. The message of adoption, 1960. Questions and answers in 55. Predestination is only the foreknowledge of God. See, then he can predetermine by his foreknowledge. Then he could say, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated before either one of them was born. Well, why could he say that? Did he choose one over the other? No, he knew what they would do. There's your foreknowledge. So back it up. No matter what, back up everything to foreknowledge, and let's come out of there and start into the message today. All right? Now, so let's think about these things. God knowed that man would fall, quoting from Revelation chapter 5, 1961. Yet he could not make man fall, knowing man would be lost, though he did not want anybody lost. But in order to display his attributes of God to be manifested to all man and all, he could do what he was doing to be a redeemer. He couldn't make you wrong and condemn you for being wrong. That's what I told you. My brother's a Methodist minister. That's what he says. He said, God can't condemn me for being wrong. He made me this way. Well, you know, if God made him that way, he can't condemn him for being wrong. But that's what I told him. I said, he didn't make you that way. I said, he made you right. You went wrong. You know, then it's not to just, well, bless God, I tell you what, I believe in predestination. If I'm predestinated, make it, I'm going to make it. Well, what are you crowing about? See? Are you trying to make God bend to your ways of thinking? Or are you trying to take God as his word? Which one is it? All right. By making man a free moral agent, letting him choose, then he knew what you would choose.
Yep, that's right.
Amen. Right? Now that's the same for Jacob as it is Esau.
That's right.
That's the same for you as it is for me.
Right.
That he knew, by making us the way we were made, that we would have a right to choose. All right? And having that right to choose, by his foreknowledge, he knew what would take place if he made us a free moral agent.
Right?
Now, I say it again where you remember it. Not just talking about foreknowledge. Well, look, Brother Dale, that's just in the mind of God. It was just in the mind of God. He thought about this. Be careful. We've done been through a whole message on one of those. That it's not just that God, well, you know, God is sitting there and I think I'll do it this way. I believe I'll do it this way. That's thinking in your mind. God never had any of those things. His first original thought about mankind would have to be perfect.
Amen.
But if he made us as to be that we are stamped, predetermined, Well, then what about the rest of the world? Then he'd be a respecter of persons, wouldn't he? So you got to leave it that what? No matter whether you be seed or non-seed, or whether you be Christian or not a Christian, or who you be, that God deals with every individual upon the basis of free moral agency. As I said this morning, ended the service up, sure. He will cross your path. He will cross your path somewhere. If he hasn't done it, he'll cross you somewhere. And when you do, you're going to make a choice. And when you make a choice, he knew the choice you'd make before. So all he has to do is just wait until you get to a right place and then cross your path. And he knew what you'd do. See, that way he's not choosing one and rejecting the other. He's giving everybody the same choice. That way he cannot be condemned. You know what I mean? Come on, folks. It ain't to say, well, God's going to be condemned. Get a little common sense to listen. Somebody, if God says, you done me this way, if you made me a sinner, I could, if I knew that and it was true, I could go before God and say, you made me this way. But I know it's not true. Because he never made me that way. He made me with a choice. Then it's my fault. I can't blame him. No more than we can what? Blame Adam and Eve for our wrong. Is that true? We're a free moral agent and must make a choice. All right? So then which comes first? Foreknowledge or predestination? So then God would make, back up just a hair to get a little understanding. Then God would make mankind of one blood. All nations, about we say that it made man made of one, God made of one blood all man, but it's not that, it says all nations. All right. But now I did look it up, and Brother Branham, I got about seven or eight of them where he quotes it. God made man, or men, he'll use. But the Bible actually says all nations, all right? Now, showing that everybody would be the same and would be on the same basis. See, because if he made you on any different basis of anybody else, then he would be a respecter of persons. But he can't do it. Everybody has to be the same. Listen, the fall to me now, then seeing the fall and what it really is, then the fall showed that God did create everything equal. The fall shows God created everything equal. Because everything fell.
Right.
All right. See, all fell to death. No matter, we talk about it. I had this the other day, but I keep trying to push things over a little bit. I was telling them last night something, and I said, it's going to take me months before I get there to preach on it. But remember, when Adam fell, you better read that real careful. Brother Branham doesn't just say Adam fell. Come on. Go home and read it. He's talking about all of us falling. Right? He ain't talking about just Adam fell and then we fall because Adam fell. Read the quote. Adam fell from eternal life to death in the garden. And he's saying there's no reason of thinking about what's going on. He said we know what happened. We all of us together fell from eternal life. We went through showing Adam didn't die and go to hell because of death, eternal separation. But what Adam done, he never reached eternal life in body and spirit. So he fell from that back Because that's what we're doing now, is taking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the eternal life in the soul, and bringing us to the tree of life to bring us to a change of these bodies that it can be eternal. All right? It's a beautiful story. But see, we all fell. Because had it not been a fall, we would have come. Side to point. There was going to be a fall. God knew there was going to be a fall. By what? By his foreknowledge. So you know what he done? Now, according to our thinking, we think that the way God done things was that he put the tree of life in the garden. And that's true. But remember, at the same time of putting the tree of life in the garden, he put the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He didn't just put the tree of life and leave you and let you fall away from the tree of life and then the tree of knowledge of good and evil comes into view. He had it all there at one time. Because he knew what was going to take place. You know, after a while being a daddy or whatever, you know, you learn things. And you learn pretty well how your kids are going to react. You know, you don't have to wait till they react. You pretty well know what they're going to do. Right? You don't know that much about your kids. Yeah. You need to start learning. All right. God knew what would take place when he put us in human flesh. Right? I wouldn't know. It didn't pull it over on him for Adam and them to do wrong. He knew they was going to do wrong. But he was going to use that to display all of his attributes and bring his complete plan into being to have offspring, children, that would love him. Not because that they have to. I've told people, one person in particular, he was, adopted then. They're put in an orphan's home. I said, look, you ought to love your mom and daddy for what they've done. They brought you here. You know, he hated his mom and daddy, especially his mama, because they just wanted to put him in an orphan's home. But I tried my best to convince him. I said, look, brother, you realize if it hadn't been for your mom and daddy, you wouldn't be here. Right. Oh, we think, oh, we would have come some way. Yeah, how? The children see today say, you know, well, mama and daddy's one that done me wrong. They brought you here. Right. It don't matter how dirty you get done. They brought you here. And you ought to thank God for your mom and daddy for nothing else getting you here. Amen. Okay. So all mankind fell to death, even Adam that had eternal life in his soul, blasphemous names, these prophets said, he fell to death in that he died because he never reached the change of his body. All right? And you and I, no matter what you want to think about it, we can have eternal life in our soul by the new birth, but our body is still dying. The same thing that faced Adam is facing you and I today. And what is it? What is it that's facing you and I that was facing Adam and Eve? Satan, through his subtlety, impenetrated the mind of Eve and brought her to the condition of existence of where it is. And that's what's exactly doing right now. The devil's sitting there talking to you. Well, I wonder what he's talking about. The other one says, we've heard this so many times, I know what he's talking about. The other one says, I'm hungry, I wish we could get out of here. The other one says this. The other one says, but yet we're at church, supposed to be listening. Yeah. Okay. So let's start out on a point this afternoon. Aaron came in the office the other day, and he said he run into a fella wanted to know which came first. He wasn't necessarily dealing with the egg or the chicken as much, just which one came first. I looked at him, I said the word, and he just shook his head. He said, that's the answer I gave the man, is the word came first. All right, so we ought to have the word first. Okay? So which came first? Predestination, which is destiny determined beforehand, or foreknowledge, which is to know by foreknowledge what will take place, or knowledge before. Right. Romans 8 and 29, we just read, where he said, those whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. So he foreknew first, comes first. Foreknowledge comes first, all right? You say, it don't matter. Which is first, predestination, foreknowledge? It don't matter. Predestination, if you take predestination first, you're making him making a destiny for everybody without giving you a choice. If you leave it with foreknowledge first, then he knows the choice you would make and could predetermine you because of the choice you would make. Now, God is not the author of confusion. That way he can love Jacob and hate Esau before either one was born. Now that hate there, don't get all tied up with God and hate and things. Don't run that away. It's not that he hated no more than it says over there that he repented because he made man. Well, who did he repent to? Oh, he repented to the second person and went to the third person. Oh, your glory, you're great. It doesn't mean he repented. It was just meaning a sorrowful condition existed because of what man had done that he trusted the man. Remember, in Adam all die. He wasn't necessarily saying he trusted Eve. He trusted Adam because Adam was the son of God. And he sold us out. Right? You think God didn't know he's going to do that? Predestination means simply, 4309, means to determine before, ordain, or predetermine, or beforehand. All right. So you would say predestination would be first. That would be all right with me. But if you're saying predestination comes first, then you make God choosing, not giving you a choice. You make him choosing without giving you a choice. But if he gives you a choice and you choose, then his foreknowledge can predetermine. Is that any problem? All right. Let's take a few quotes from Brother Branham and just go on through with this, okay? Look what he goes to say. Let's go over to number 3. Brothers, which is the power of God in 1955. The word predestinate, that's not a good word to use. The word foreknowledge is better. Watch him. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge. So which one's first? Foreknowledge. And look, and foreknowledge looks to destiny. I thought the word predetermined was destiny determined beforehand. So then evidently by his foreknowledge, he knows what it's going to be. Right? Trying to get you to think a little bit about life and its doing and to try to get it to the basis that we're not into that, as I said this morning, to say, why would a Christian being, a person who's a Christian, say, God, He made me, and I'm predetermined. I don't have a choice. Why would you want to talk about a God like that? Why would you even want to talk about a God that would be that much of a peanut brain that couldn't comprehend? You know what I'm talking about is true. You go talk to somebody that believes in predestination. There ain't nothing you can tell me to tell me I ain't predestinated. Bless God, I'm predestinated. Now, what are we doing the message? I know I'm predestinated because I believe the message. Well, the devil beats you there. Right. He believes the message. He beats you there. So, let's just leave it. But look what he's saying. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks to destiny. But God not making, listen, but God not making, set it in order, a little hole that you have to go through and can't go no other way. But God, in order to be God, he knowed the end from the beginning so he could predict it and set things in order to happen. I know you don't believe in predestination or God the way I do, because I've told you. We were talking last night about in the happening of a baby that the prophet says there's a million eggs, and I've argued that with most of you women here since I've been here 40 years ago, that you still think that just one egg comes down. Well, go ahead, and I ain't going to argue with you about it. Science has proven it, and here you come with a woman who's got five babies and eight babies and different things. You know, I ain't going to argue with you about it. Because there ain't no need of arguing. I ain't never argued with you about it. Just try to tell you some common sense. Brother Brown said a million eggs and a million sperm. And he says they're alive. We don't want to put that in there because we don't like that part. He said, then one back here, one egg crawled all the way over and connects with the, one sperm can all the way over and connects with the egg. And he says, the others die. Meaning they were alive. Right? It's like I told him last night, wouldn't it be something if it wasn't a God to control it? I mean, the woman had eight babies, she's in bad shape. How would it be if you had about 20, like the litters of a hog? Come on, sisters, how would you like that? Oh, I better believe in predestination. And keep it right. All right. But think about it. What is your thoughts? Let's get on with the other. Go to number four, where I think Pentecost failed. He said the word is used here in the fifth verse of predestination. Predestinated. It's not a very good word for an evangelist or a minister to use. You know why? Because people don't understand it, so they get it all messed up. Because it kind of confuses people when you say predestinate. Predestination speaks, looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks to destination. So everything, that's the point this afternoon. We'll get into it a little on elections and everything. Everything that is done this morning, the whole message was to do, and this afternoon is to sink it low enough into us to think about it, that everything is based upon foreknowledge. And that way, you can't say to God, why did you make me this way? Right? Foreknowledge looks to destination. Foreknowledge goes back to what? Predestination goes back to foreknowledge. Foreknowledge goes to destination. So drop back to foreknowledge and go just as far. In other words, God didn't say, now I'll make this man be this and I'll make this man be that. But in order to be God, he had to know the end from the beginning. So in order to foreknowledge that he knew, he could say this would happen. And that would happen because he was God and knowed where everything would be placed. Therefore, he could ordain certain things for certain ages. You believe that? That's truly scripture. I said that I would get to it eventually. Because it is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God, right? Church age book, right? That's not it. What is it? It's the word or seed. So there's a predestinated seed, eternally predestinated. You know that Brother Branham calls Malachi 4 a predestinated seed? What do you think about it? The prophets are predestinated. Now, come on, folks. We got a long ways to go. Can we get this out of the way? Then we drop back, okay? The prophets are predestinated eternally from God because of the word they have, not the flesh. That's just the way it falls, where it drops to, you know, whatever it being. But it's the seed that's predestinated. All right? That's not just foreknowledge. That was going to happen. We got the choice of the rest of it. Okay, let's go. Look at the next one. Look at number 5. The faith of Abraham. And predestination is a hard word among congregation of people because predestination, really, foreknowledge is a better word. And predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks on to destiny. That God, being infinite in the beginning, knew the end from the beginning. Therefore, he knew what people would do. So he could foretell what would take place, for he knew what would be. Therefore, he, before Esau and Jacob, either one was born, could say, Esau, I've hated, and Jacob, I've loved, because he foreknew what they could be. He never made Esau the way he was. He wasn't willing that Esau would be that way. But Esau, by choice, God knew what would take. God knew would take that way. So that's how he knows us today. He knows your heart. And you might be able to fool your neighbor. You might be able to fool your pastor. But you'll never be able to fool God because he knows your heart. Okay, continue on. Let's get these reading out of the way. God's covenant with Abraham in 56. Now, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But in order to be God, he had to know. Now, the word predestinate is used in Ephesians 1:5. Predestinate there isn't a good word. It means, in speaking of predestination to the people, sometimes leads them to think that God just predestinated you to push you through a little pipe or something. That's not right. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks to destiny. Are you reading with me? All right, go ahead to the next. The resurrection of Jesus, number 7. As well stated, predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks on to destiny. See, and God in the beginning could see all things the way it would happen. Therefore, he could tell, this will be this way, and that'll be that way, and this will be this way, and that'll be that way, because he, by foreknowledge, he wasn't willing that the left side would be wrong, that this would be. He didn't want that to happen, but being God, he knew it would happen that way, so therefore he could foretell what would be, and he knew that the end from the beginning. That wonderful. And to think that ever born-again child of God tonight has the privilege and assurance to know that God knowed his own. That's right. God knoweth his own. What about that? It's a wonderful thing. All right? So, do you understand what I'm getting at? Predestination never comes first. Foreknowledge. Foreknowledge goes all the way back into the mind totally, and a part of God. Predestination is dealing with the mind. Right? Because he moved over from what we would think of his own into the mind and could understand what would take place. So then he could predestinate. What about your election? What does the Bible say about election? Go to number 8. We read it this morning, 1 Peter 1 and 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, elect according to foreknowledge, not elect according to predestination. So there's elect according to foreknowledge. The word elect, 1588, is chosen, picked out, chosen, chosen by God. All right? But he says, elect according to the foreknowledge. So which one comes first? Now let's get what he's dealing with. Go on to the next one, number 9. Hearing, receiving, and acting on the word E10. But Jacob, his twin brother, by election, was predestinated by foreknowledge. Right? Jacob, his twin brother, you know what he's talking about, Jacob and Esau. So he's talking about Esau, and he comes down talking about Jacob. By election. Then how does God elect? Go on to the next one. Adoption 19, which is number 10, paragraph 106. Listen to this. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge. Now watch him. I mean election. Election looks back to foreknowledge. Everything is my whole point is what? Whether it be election, whether it be predestination, whether it be foreordination, whether it be ordainings or whatever, it's all going back to foreknowledge. Right? It all ties to foreknowledge. So we see he's saying election looks back to foreknowledge. And predestination looks to destiny. Don't forget that. That election looks back here. Here it is. Now here's the one people don't want because they don't like this one. But I'm sorry, I wasn't the one that made it. He said, I was a cuckabur. I never was a cuckabur. I've got a quote for that. Well, then you're going to argue with this one. Well, let's rip this one out. That's what a brother told me one time about the gifts. He said, you ought to just tear the gifts out of the Bible. You know what I done. I said, give me your Bible. He would not dare hand me that Bible. I would have bought him 10 to done what I was going to do. Because I fully intended to rip that pages in what is 13th chapter of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, what he's talking about gifts and things. I fully intended because of his statement, I was going to rip out the pages. I wasn't being mean. I was just going to rip out the pages because they don't need to be in there. He knew real quick what I was doing. He sure wouldn't let me have his Bible. Me. All right. See, let's get it right. And then we don't have to worry about it. Then we don't have to say, oh, that's not right. We don't agree with that. No, come on. But listen. Election looks back to foreknowledge and predestination looks to destiny. Now he's bringing election back in with foreknowledge and doing it. Don't forget that election looks back here. Here it is. I was a cuckabur. I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Born amongst sinners, father and mother and all my whole family, sinners. I was a cuckabur. But all of a sudden, I became a wheat grain. How did it happen? What is that election? God, before the foundation of the world, elected that the cuckabur was going to become a grain of wheat. Well, bless God, I got a quote, though. The prophet said, I wasn't a cuckabur turned to wheat. That's a quote. That's a direct quote. But just getting what he's answering there. Okay. I know I'm a grain of wheat. Because I'm saved. How do I do it? Look back and see that he predestinated it long time ago. Before knowledge, he seen that I would love him. So he made a propitiation through his own son that through him I might become from a cuckabur to a grain of wheat. Now, where am I at now? I'm saved. I'm walking in the grace of God. What does predestination look like? To destiny. Where will he take me to? And where am I going? That got you. Yeah. What about it? Election, he chose them, and by predestination, roll it on up, you'll get it right on the bottom of this quote. By election, he chose them. By predestination, he knew where they were going. He knowed where they were going. There you are. What about it? What about this statement? Proving his word, 1964, number 11. Look at the bottom. It would deceive the very elect, are predestinated. So, you know what I'm talking about. The scripture would deceive the very elect if it's possible. Watch. It's the same thing. What's the same thing? It would deceive the very elected or predestinated. What's the elected and predestinated? It's the same thing. Election and predestination is the same thing. So now, foreknowledge, election, predestination. So, if you're elect, chosen in Christ, foreknowledge, elect, chosen in Christ. If you're not, you come over on the other side to be what? Predestinated to be lost. Brother Run said people don't believe what? The church age book? What is that quote, Brother Larry? People don't believe in predestination unto or reprobation unto. They don't believe that. God elected you or predestinated you before the foundation of the world. We'll deceive a whole name we're not put there. Okay? Let me get one or two. I got one or two more. And then we'll stop on it. Well, here it is. Here's the one I'm quoting from. Go ahead to number 12. Paragraph 347, or page 347, Church Age book, which is really the Lady of Sin Church Age. But how many believe in predestination unto election and reprobation unto destruction? You don't believe. The same God that sat with his foreknowledge could say, Jacob is going to do this because I've seen him. Esau's going to do this because I've seen him. And there's nobody can argue the point.
Yep. Right.
So it can be reprobation or it can be... Okay. Abraham was called election in the next... Let's bring one or two more, then we'll get on. The God's covenant with Abraham, number 13. That brings us down to election. Now, God, by foreknowledge... could set election. God called Abraham by election. By foreknowledge, he could set election. He could choose by his foreknowledge. And then he's not held accountable. Going to the next one, door to the heart. Number 14. He's not willing, but his foreknowledge let him know. He don't just say, I'm going to save this one and lose that one. He wants you all saved, but his foreknowledge know who would. So therefore, he could predestinate according to foreknowledge, and that's election.
That's right.
He could predestinate before, and that's election. Election. Our names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, says the Bible. We were elected by God. By his foreknowledge, he elected us, blind Bartimaeus. It is I, and many believes in foreknowledge of God, that he foreknowledge and election is by foreknowledge. Right? How does he choose? Look at this one, number 17. God always does his choosing, his election. He does that by election, by his foreknowledge. Now, you can't argue with him. See, if you said he just done it by election, you could argue and say, well, then he chose this one, didn't choose that one. By foreknowledge. Everything is based upon foreknowledge. Yeah, but we thought it was a great mystery in it. That's what's in it, folks. You wouldn't come up in the Baptist. I was trying to explain to them something to them last night. We had preachers in the Baptist that they'd preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. Then we had what was called revelated preachers. And boy, they could just stir a crowd, and everybody was so happy. I never thought of that. I never thought of it like that. It's a great revelation. You ever heard a Baptist preach this? That the man wasn't blind, he was spiritually blind. And God opened his eyes, not physically, but spiritually. You ain't never come through the Baptist, you hadn't heard that one, okay? That's revelated preachers. What about people of this message? What's the message? The people that just stay with the Word. Then there's one that's got these great revelations. What, just can't you see that if you're predestinated, you had to have a seed in you? And you know you had that seed in you. Well, where was it at? That's all I've asked. Was it in the body? Was it in the spirit? Was it in the soul? That's all I've asked. Then I found out from the prophet what Christ the Messenger of God revealed. Where did he say the seed was put there? He said, for the foundation of the world. And according to what I understand about it, before the foundation of the world, there wasn't nothing but God, and he existed alone, so we wouldn't back there. So you better get down to some foreknowledge and get to thinking. But let your foreknowledge be more than just in his mind. You know. But to be part of the mind. To be part of the mind of God until you can see that you did have something to do with it. Right. Now come on. I know what the prophet said. He said, you don't have to do it with your salvation. Come on, that's right. But he tells you you've got something to do with your daily walk. Salvation is of the Lord, right? Nobody has anything to do with it. But after then, you have the opportunity or the choice to walk in Christ or to eat out of a garbage can. Are we like that? Spiritual revelation. Oh, I just felt so good when that brother's bringing that. Like I said about the man, they say that he wasn't physically blind because, see, the Baptists don't believe in divine healing. Huh? I ain't saying all of them. I'm just saying. So they said the man was spiritually blind, and God opened his eyes. Well, he had him saved right there. Right? He didn't realize what he just said. He had him saved right there. He opened his eyes. How much more are there the people of this message? Brother Branham said the little woman at the well, he was quickened to her, and her eyes were opened. And she said, thou art the Christ. But did that make her born again? Well, what do you mean? It gave her eternal life? No, it didn't. It gave her the revelation of what she needed. It gave her for the time what she had need of, which was a revelation from God. Ever notice it? Two times after Jesus' resurrection, there's two times in the Bible, they said he opened her understanding of the Scriptures. Well, how come they wouldn't born again if he opened her understanding of the Scriptures? But they couldn't be born again until the day of Pentecost, because Jesus Christ had not died yet, not released that one within him to give eternal life. David and them couldn't have eternal life. They're just anointed. Sure, David had a wonderful heart. He did. He's crying out for repentance on the way home, and your prophet verifies it, from the bed of Bathsheba. He's crying out in his heart, return unto me the joy of thy salvation. He's crying out. He's repenting. What does the Bible say? God don't look at more sacrifices, right? He said your sacrifices become stinking the nostril. But what does it say he looked at? At an honest and a contrite heart. See, those people back there, they had the anointing of Christ on them. And my Lord, don't you think David could realize that he'd kill a bear, he'd kill a lion, he'd kill a giant? Don't you realize that he knew, like I've always told you? Why do you think he wasn't afraid of the lion, the giant, or the bear? I mean, the lion or giant, or the bear. You know, why he wasn't afraid of them? Because Samuel had anointed him to be king. And David looked back and said, if that man's right, he said, I'm going to be king. Let's go get giant and bring his brothers. Well, he did pick up 5 stones, you know. They say that he had about 4 more brothers. Well, he wasn't afraid of his brothers and all the whole family. He took on all the uncles and aunts and everything else. You know, he was the only one facing the enemy of thousands. But see, he was anointed to be king.
Yep. That's it.
And he could never die till he sat on the throne.
Oh, come on.
Why can't we believe that about eternal life? If you have eternal life in your soul by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what are you worried about anything? Brother Brown said, why do we fear? Why are we worried? Why are we scared? Are you scared about all of this that's happening in the world out there now? When it's already been spoken that it will happen? No. Why worry about it? Fear hath torment. See, you're not right if you fear. Just don't be afraid. Just face it like it is. Just take a day at a time. But do you understand what I'm getting at? Whether you're dealing with election, predestination, foreordination, foreordained, because there's a word there, foreordained, because Jesus was foreordained, and then man is foreordained unto this condemnation, but Jesus was foreordained, I'm quoting Scripture. See? But it every bit goes back to foreknowledge. You're walking right back into the very God that we claim to be serving. You mean, children, that you wouldn't want to serve that kind of a God? Or should I try to threaten you with all of the things that the preachers do? You know, you're going to die in hell if you don't get born again. You going to scare somebody into being saved? Mm-mm. Nope. Tell them about a good God, you know what? They might really get saved. Outside of that, they might come to the altar just because they're afraid. Are you with me? God's foreknowledge. He knows exactly what you and I would be thinking today, sitting right here. But is everything, and I want to end with this thought, is everything just cut and dried? You know, God saw a picture for the world. He snapped a picture. We got a video. Everything got to happen according to the video. Do you realize? Now I want you to listen for a second. Do you realize the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die? Right? Well, you know what that means? Everybody's going to die. Now, wait a minute now, Brother Dale. Now, we were talking about, come on, we got to do something. That's what I mean. Something's got to happen. It's appointed unto man once to die. You say, yeah, but the Bible says change them on twinkle of an eye. You want this quote? You know that Jesus broke the Scripture. You ever heard that one? Come on. You that are word-oriented, you hadn't never noticed he said that? That Jesus broke the Scriptures. Now what are you going to say? That's what I'm saying. It's foreknowledge. It's not just cut and dried. It's not just set, this has got to be that way, that's got to be that way, it's going to be a certain date, got to be this date, got to do that. It's clicking the clock, it's going to click 16 times today, and I die. Does God set everything that way? Do you realize the way that Jesus broke the Scripture? If you are chained in a moment in a twinkle of an eye, you will have to break the Scripture. Because it was appointed unto man once to die. That death takes everybody except the Lord Jesus Christ. He broke that scripture because he died, but he raised. Right? He kept the scripture. It's appointed unto man once to die. He died, but he raised. Breaking the scripture that commands you stay in the grave. Right? Are you with me? Do you need that quote? For Brother Joe or some of them can run up fast in there. Just run it in there and you'll find it. Where Jesus broke the scripture. See, he broke that scripture because the scripture put him in the grave. 3 days, three nights, heart of the earth, etc. It is appointed that a man wants to die. Jesus was set to die. He was sent here to die. Right? But he broke the scripture and he raised, which no man had ever been able to do. Now, the prophets prayed and people raised the dead, so don't go with me off. Go with me of what I'm saying. All right? You think you're spiritual to run off and think, well, he don't understand that scripture. I wouldn't be saying if I didn't understand it. Well, see, it's appointed still unto man to die. Death is going to take everybody till somebody finds a spot. Whatever you want to call it. A seed, a word, a point, or a time, or a whatever it is. Tents, return ministries, whatever it is. I don't have no problems with anybody. I'm a firm believer in what the prophet said. But it's appointed that we die. Somebody's not going to die. You're going to do something Jesus couldn't do. Jesus had to die. You think he didn't leave a lot for us to do? All right, now take your predestinations and your predeterminings and find that word or find that thought. We'll go back into foreknowledge of God. He knew somebody wasn't going to die. I want to be one of them, don't you?
Amen.
I don't worry about the rest of it. I said it 40 years ago, and I don't back up. I told it then to this church, it's on the tape, that the biggest portion of the people of this message would die and go by the grave before the rapture. Change would come. You know what? The biggest portion of the people of this message had died and went by the grave. But see, somebody is going to be changed.
Amen.
Is that just an election? Are you elected to come down to a change? Are you predestinated to come to a change? Why did Brother Branham have to go by the grave? Because he was not the one to fulfill those scriptures.
That's right.
Somebody is. Somebody's going to change without dying.
Right.
Is that just a predetermined point? Or is it a revelation from God?
Right.
May I remind you that there was a man in the Bible that says the Lord had showed to him, Simeon, however you pronounce it, that he wasn't going to die till he seen the Lord's Christ. Well, you know, every day he said, Lord, I'm getting old. Please hurry up. You know, please hurry up and get this to where I can see it. I'm getting old. I'm blind. But he just believed it. And you know what? It happened.
Right.
But you know what? Then he died. Why? Because it's appointed to a man wants to die.
Right.
Somebody's going to break the scriptures. Now, if you can break the scriptures, then is your destiny so set that everything has got to be exactly to the letter or is it that God is allowing these to take place? Could it be we misunderstand? Now, as I said about the man that was given 15 years, God knew he was going to give him 15 years. He knew that. All right, so he didn't change his mind about his word, but he did tell the man, "Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, you'll die." Same prophet went out, come back, "Thus saith the Lord, you're going to live and won't die." But did that break God's word? No, because the man 15 years later died. So the man, the prophet, was right the first time. The "thus saith the Lord" was still true. Right? He did die. See, is it that God makes everything on a stamped form, is my point. This is the way it's got to be. Could it be that he's giving his children an opportunity to walk in his light, and that he would make all things possible to them that believe? May I quote Brother Branham? There was a young girl, you've heard the story, that Brother Branham, well, look, there's a couple there, but one was a young girl. And if I get the two tied together, just forgive me because I'm having to quote from memory. But anyhow, the girl, Brother Branham told the person that the girl wasn't going to die. You remember that? And the girl went and told him, said, "Mama said, I'm going home." She said, "Yes, honey, you're going home tomorrow. Lord healed you." She said, "Mama, I'm dying." "No, you're healed." And she was. Remember, Brother Branham said, "God, you owe me an answer. I told her she was healed." He said God let him pout it out for about 3 months or something, somewhere in there, and said he come to him one day and told him, he said, "You remember a year before that girl died that she was at that party or whatever down next to the river, and said she was in the river and fell in it and drowned, and said she was brought back to life, and said she was supposed to die then, but said I give her an opportunity. So everything must not be." There it is. 10 seconds after. And it's got to be that way. Could it be that God doesn't set it that way? Could it be that he doesn't predestinate like we think? Could it be that he doesn't choose like we think? Could it be that he is right there beside you now, trying to get you to believe the word? The girl, maybe her life was wrong and she changed and done got straightened up. I'm just saying maybe she did. God gave her a year. Could it be that everything's not just stamped? But you know what it is all by? It's every bit by God's foreknowledge.
Right. Amen.
Nothing's going to be happening that's not his foreknowledge. So don't you think his foreknowledge would know there's going to be a group of people, may I state it this way, there's going to be a group of people in this end time that's going to look death straight in the face and say, "Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory?" And they're going to break the scripture that says you're supposed to die. And they're going to walk right off of this earth. And God's not going to get them up there and say, "You broke the scriptures." Because that's what you're going to have to do. Think on these things. But remember, everything goes back to foreknowledge. Irregardless if you're going to think about seeds ideas and how great you are? Or are you going to think about how bad you are and what all of the things are? Every bit of it is by God's foreknowledge. Because he knew what would take place. Let's stand. Come on, musicians. No, excuse me. Don't come on, musicians. We got foot wash. Okay. Let's just stand together and have a little time to take, because I like to do that before we do take the communion. Now, I do say this much. If you need healing, come and we'll pray for you, because that's always. There's never out of line for you to do that or seek God or whatever, regardless of whether it's communion time or whatever it is. If you have a need, then we pray for you and ask God to touch you, right, because that should be in an order of line. Then we can take the communion, you know, in doing it, right? All right. Lord Jesus, we've come down to the end of the day and the time to where that I tried my best to explain what's on my mind, but I know that's hard to do, Lord. But you just open it up to the people and let them see that I'm trying to get us to look back and to see that you just didn't think about these things and pick out what you thought was good. But neither did you sit down and plan it to be in any way. But yet you knew all along what would happen if you put man upon the earth. Lord, you had a lot of confidence in the human race, because you knew what we'd do. You know what we'll do right now. You know how that we'll fail you. But you've never failed us. And we just ask you to guide us and be with us. Be with the sick. Touch each one. Because you promised it. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. So then take care of all the problems and the things, the heartaches and troubles, and let it all be in you, Lord. And forgive our sins. And make us worthy to take the communion. In your loving grace, we ask it in Jesus' name. Okay? So let's read the scripture here, and then we'll get to... The brothers can come with the 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, I love this scripture, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. That's a wonderful scripture to me. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. That you come not together under condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's just take a few moments and just pray silently before the Lord and praying one for another. Brother Brown said you pray for your pastor, he prays for you. Just praying for one another and praying to the Lord would make everything right and get it all straight to where there wouldn't be no troubles. And we don't want no trouble at the river, do we? We want it all to be right. So let's take a few moments for that, all right? We thank you for being our Father. Thank you for being who you are, knowing that as being fathers ourselves, we don't throw our children away when they do wrong. We forgive them. And we pray that you would do the same way with your children, your offspring, that you'd just forgive us of the many things that we have in our lives and our doings that's not worthy according to you. And just have your way with us, Lord. And to say that we will not do it again would be lying within ourselves because we're human mortals. But yet, if you will just come and give us an opportunity or come and show us your glory, and it will guide us over to these things and take us into your love. We love you and we thank you. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Father, we thank you for this bread. It's been made for this purpose today, that we can partake of it. And we know it's not your body, but it's only in representation. But how glorious it is to represent. So we thank you for it. We ask you to sanctify the bread and the partakers in Jesus' name. Every time I think about the bread and the communion, I think of the children of Israel and their journeys and things and how they done it. And they come down to the last and getting ready to leave. But then I think about how far we went away as mankind because we burned the bread. We don't hold it over. This is not to be kept. We burn it and take care of it before another day, you know, we Baptists, we used to order our bread from a publishing house, and it didn't matter where sinners or who made it, you know. We'd order it, and we'd keep it for 3 months, and we'd just use it over and over and over, and, you know. And then we'd top it off with a good little old sip of grape juice that was just about ready to sour and wouldn't just a little bit, because it was our understanding. I'm not throwing off on us, but it was true, right? See, how much do we think about it now of thinking, Lord, just that little bit, just that little thought of it being that we can understand communion now, we're not blasting nobody for their ways of doing. That's no problem, because we were right there in the middle of it, doing it ourselves until God corrected us, you know, on doing it. Father, we thank you for this wine. It's went through the process of aging and now gets better every day. It represents your blood, which was shed for each and every one of us. It also represents the quickening power of the Holy Spirit that can come to our hearts and our lives. That as we eat the bread, even in the natural, the little bit of wine with the bread, tomorrow will be blood cells in our body to be able to make us to where we can live. We love you and we thank you. Sanctify the wine and the partakers now together in Jesus' name. Amen. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest near the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected, and I question, oh Father, how long? Then I take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest near the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. You say, Brother Dale, why do you sing when they're passing out the bread? It's just a thought, just an idea of the children of Israel. Basically, everything they done it by singing. There were certain songs that they sung as they entered the temple to the worship, to doing the things. And I just like to sing to think about, you know, the happiness, as I said, when I was doing the bread and all, of thinking about, of knowing the truth. Now, I'm happy about it. I love good singing. I love good music and things. So forgive me if that's not your thoughts or what it should be. See, some would say, well, it needs to be holy and quietly and reverently. Well, that's all right. But why can't we sing holy and quietly and reverently to worship God, you know, and to do? Because that's not, we're not singing, I'll fly away. We just sang, come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my thoughts to the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful opportunity. Well, that's what we'll be doing, the Lord willing, when we come up to the watch night service. Brother Forney will be with us and bringing the message for the watch night. Did you miss somebody or what? Okay. And we, you know, we'll stop while the old world is out there hollering and screaming, and we just get up about midnight and we stop and take communion and just have a good time serving the Lord and let them do what they want to in their world. But we, you know, we just love the Lord and his ways, right? And let's all partake together. You can be seated while we get ready. We'll go to John and the reading of the scriptures for the foot washing. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wash them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, you know that, just to make a point, you know that there's some, and there's some even in this message, that believe Judas was gone from the upper room when it come to the communion and the foot washing. Now, according to what we just read, it says, but, you know, but it's clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. And so they do, and I know this one brother that had the idea. See? So they wanted at the end, they come up with the idea that they couldn't get it corrected that way because of that scripture. So you know what they come up with? Great understanding. I like that, to people with their great understandings. So they come up with the fact, have you ever heard this one? That they had the foot washing before they had the communion. You ever heard that one? It's argued that the foot washing was first, then the communion. I don't believe it, but that's what I'm saying. Try to prove a point, people, to do anything to try to prove a point. There's no proving a point. It's accepting Jesus Christ and receiving that and not worrying about the rest of it. Let's stand together. Father, just bless us all together as we go now and have the foot washing. And then, Father, bless the people on the way home. Take care of everybody. Give a safe journey. And, Lord, let your grace be with each and every one of us. And we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.